This is The Savvy Traveler. I'm Rudy Maxa. In 1991, journalist Mark Hertzgard set off on a trip around the world. 6 years later, he returned to the States with some startling observations about the health of the environment. What he saw in places like China, Africa, Brazil, and even the U.S. might surprise you. Mark talks about the price we're paying for progress in his latest book called Earth Odyssey. Mark, welcome. Now tell me, what compelled you to write about this subject?
Originally the idea was just to travel around the world. And then the idea of the book came, and I thought I would do it in a year, go around the world, finish at the Earth Summit. And I did do that, but then I wrote about 150 pages, and I realized I wasn't getting the voice right for this. So I set it aside for a while, went back to Europe, eventually went to China. And it was really going to China that sort of brought this whole thing together in a way that made it valuable.
Why did going to China bring the book into focus for you?
China has probably the worst environment in the world. It was where I learned what to me was the kind of the central finding of all my travels, which was that the biggest environmental problem in the world today is not global warming or ozone depletion or any of these other things that are very serious, but the biggest problem is poverty. And you really see that in China, where, I mean, on many days in places like Beijing, on a sunny day, you'd look out at the sky at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like nightfall. That's how much coal dust was in the air.
Is it because when you're suffering from poverty, you don't have the luxury of worrying about the environment?
In a way, yes. In fact, the guy who taught me this was my interpreter there, Jen Bins. He grew up in a village about 100 miles northwest of Beijing. And he's now in his early 30s. But for the first 10 years of his life, in a climate like Boston, the only thing that they had to keep warm with in the winter was to burn dried leaves. So when the economic reforms came in the early 80s, and finally there was a little money to buy things, and they bought some coal, of course they burned the coal. And it was the first time that they'd been warm in the winter in their entire history. Well, you multiply his story by 1.25 billion people, and you see why China has the 9 of the 10 most air-polluted cities in the world, why 2 million Chinese are dying every year from air pollution, and why China is the second biggest greenhouse gas producer, only behind us in the United States.
What did you find in Russia?
Oh, boy, Russia is another real environmental basket case, in a different way than China, because in Russia, the economy fell apart long ago. There's no signs it's going to come back anytime soon. In China, there's a lot of economic growth. In Russia, the worst part was I went to the nuclear catastrophe zone that is called Chelyabinsk. Everyone knows Chernobyl, but Chelyabinsk is where the first three Chernobyls happened, three accidents that were at least as bad, if not worse, than what Chernobyl did, but the outside world never heard about them because both the KGB and the CIA covered them up for decades.
And are these places that are being cleaned up now?
I wish I could tell you that they're being cleaned up, but no, they've basically been written off. I remember going to the children's hospital and seeing kids who were dying from leukemia from this radiation that is still there. The accidents were in 1946, 1957, and 1967, and yet the Chelyabinsk region is still the cancer capital of the entire Soviet Union. Unfortunately, there's just no money in the government coffers to clean it up.
Brazil. The rainforest. Has all the publicity produced any results?
There have been some limited successes, but unfortunately, most of what we've seen in the last 10 years since the rainforest became a household word internationally, we've seen mainly rhetoric on the part of the government of Brazil. And that's understandable because the problem of rainforest destruction is absolutely directly tied, according to my investigation, to the incredible poverty and inequality that exists in Brazil. Brazil is the single most unequal society on earth. And you've got 1% of the populace that controls 50% of the land. And 50% of the people are basically without any land whatsoever. And that is primarily what is driving deforestation. You know, you can say that the solution is quite simple, land reform. And experts have been saying this for decades about Latin America as a whole. But unfortunately, we're not any closer to seeing it.
When you travel to countries with horrendous environmental records, like China and Russia, are the locals or is the government refusing to deal with the environment?
I must say one of the most heartening things that I found all over the world is that average people, they get it. They understand that this is a problem, and it's almost instinctive on their part that we've got to do something about it. The only caveat that they add is you can't ask me to starve today to fix the environment for tomorrow. Unfortunately, governments and corporations and big institutions throughout the world are lagging. The response time is just not adequate to the kind of problems that we face. you need fundamental shifts in the political and economic practices of the human race.
Generally speaking, is tourism good or bad for the environment around the world?
I would say it depends on what kind of tourism you do. If you insist that every place you go in the world has to provide you with an American comfort level, then without question your tourism is going to be harmful environmentally. If you insist that you have to have a car and you have to have a hotel and all of that, not only does that cause far more environmental damage, but I would also say humbly that you're missing the point of traveling. One of the greatest things that an American can do is to realize how differently different people live on this planet. And vive la différence.